You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the account of the resurrection of Christ. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out to where and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and in Hebrew said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he had said to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if something like this has ever happened to you. You're driving on the freeway, it's heavy traffic, and you are looking at trying to weave into the different lanes and not get stuck behind the big truck, and you're so focused on the traffic jam that you don't realize that there's a beautiful sunset right in front of you. Or maybe you're reading a book, or you're watching a television show, and you're so into it, and you're at the climax, and you just can't wait to see what happens next, and you don't realize that for 5 minutes, your spouse has been standing over you trying to figure out what you want for dinner. Or maybe you got glasses for the first time, and all of a sudden you realize that there are a lot of people who wear glasses. Or you get your new car, and you think, "Wow, this is a new car, and I've never seen this one before," and then all of a sudden you realize that everyone else is driving it too. It's called intentional blindness. It happens to us every day. It's a psychological phenomena where people fail to realize or notice something in their line of sight because they are focused on something else. The term can be explained by the brain's ability to only focus on what it expects to see or happen. It happens because the brain isn't able to process every piece of information that it's presented, and often because it's focusing on something else. That's why, as studies have shown, that when you are engrossed in your phone, you may not notice that there's a $100 bill lying on the ground right there, or that someone has walked by with a big, bright umbrella and it's a sunny day. inattentional blindness. I suspect that Mary was suffering from inattentional blindness when she went to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday. She was intent in grief. She was solely focused on preparing Jesus' body for burial. You see, after he died, he was only laid in the tomb. He wasn't buried because it was the Sabbath. And so, because no work was to be done on the Sabbath, the body couldn't be buried. It was the day of rest, and even after all that had happened, that commandment was still upheld. So it wasn't until the Sabbath was over that she could go and prepare the body. As she walked into the garden, she carried with her all that she had been feeling since Jesus' death, the pain and the despair, the fear and the hopelessness, the brokenness and the loneliness. Good Friday had only just happened. Everything was very fresh in her mind. She was living in the despair of Jesus' death. He'd been so important to her. He'd given her life and hope, and she followed him, believing in his message of love and experiencing what that unconditional love was like. And so she stayed at the cross. She saw the nails, the blood, the agony on his face, witnessed the death of her Lord. She knew what she would find at the tomb. She knew what she was looking for, Jesus' body secure behind the stone. But of course, that's not what she found. The tomb was empty, and she could only see one possible reason. The body wasn't there. It was missing. Her worst fears were confirmed. Even in death, Jesus couldn't be left in peace. Someone had taken the body. And so she ran to get help. Peter and John, they'll help her find the body. And they run to the tomb. They confirm her findings. They see the living wrappings off to the side. And then they just leave her there and return home. There are two angels by the tomb flanking it on either side, but she doesn't even realize who they are, hardly even sees them. Their presence goes totally unnoticed, except that she asks a question but doesn't realize they're angels because she's focused on finding the body and no other possibility crosses her mind. There's a gardener there, and she just stands in front of him, crying with inattentional blindness. And when the man in front of her asks, "For whom are you looking?" she demands to know where he put the body. Her mind was made up. Jesus was dead, and she was there to express her grief. The body was gone, and she was oblivious to everything that was happening. All she could see was more sorrow and loss instead of the miraculous work of God through resurrection. Are we any different? Have we already decided what God will and won't do so much that we miss what God is doing in front of us? Do we focus on the meaningless disappointments and defeats and details of life that we fail to see God's presence? It's easy to miss something you're not looking for with all that it distracts us and takes our focus away. And so the resurrected Christ calls to us, "Whom are you looking for?" How do we answer? Can we even answer? Or do we too suffer from inattentional blindness? It's easy to miss Christ in front of us when we, like Mary, are focused on Good Friday, when schools are in lockdown and war persists in lands once held sacred, when bridges collapse and tornadoes tear down, and when books are banned and children are bullied and we have forgotten how to love. If we look around, we will see Good Friday everywhere. Sometimes we can't help it. Bad news consumes us so much that it's what we expect to hear. It's where our focus lies, but that's not our story. Ours is not a Good Friday story. We've talked a lot about stories these past few weeks through our Lenten journey. Our theme was, "Tell me the stories of Jesus, the stories that Jesus told." We've looked at the parables, stories that taught a lesson, and they've helped us to understand God's love and the kingdom of God. They're instructional. But those stories are found in a greater story, a story of God and God's longing for God's people. It is our story. And it begins with a God who loved, a God who created out of love, who covenanted with the people he loved, who delivered them and carried them and loved them, a God who chose to become human, to come into the world born a baby, to grow and show a new kind of loving God and God's people. And he taught a message that threatened those in power. He was crucified, died, and buried. But that's not the end, because the tomb is empty. When Jesus, the man Mary assumed to be the gardener, asked, "Whom are you looking for?" Mary just wanted to find the body of her Lord. And then Jesus called her by name, Mary. And her eyes were opened, and she knew it is her Lord. He is risen. He is alive. In that instant, she had hope again, and he sent her to go and to spread the good news. Bishop Will Willimon asked once, "What does it take to see? What grabs our gaze, turns our eyes in the right direction, and brings it all into focus?" For Mary, it was the risen Lord. He came to her. He spoke to her, calling her by name. He turned her gaze from that which was expected and accustomed toward that which was revealed. What if seeing, really seeing, is not an intellectual achievement of hard work, but a gift? You see, I think the story of Mary at the tomb is a story about you. You got Easter the same way Mary got Easter. You are not here because anything other than the risen Christ calls your name, Mary, George, Courtney, and hearing your life addressed, you saw. Our story doesn't end with Good Friday, for it is a story of a God who knows our name. Our story is a story of God of love and a story of resurrection, a story of God who brings life out of death and good out of bad and hope out of despair. Ours is the story of the empty tomb, the triumph over suffering, the promise that God's will is for life and for wholeness, not suffering and death. It's the knowledge that God loves us, and there's nothing in the world that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our resurrection promise. Just as Christ said Mary, he says our names too. He opens our eyes to the miracles around us as he reveals himself to us and reminds us that we are not alone, that God is with us, and that is the good news. So we too go and share it. Today, on this day of resurrection, we see that God never gives up. Even though we may have, God meets us in a Good Friday world and promises us an Easter Sunday resurrection. This is our story, and we will miss it if we stay stuck on Good Friday, blind to what God is doing. We will miss God's presence right here and right now. We will miss God's comfort and healing and love and the power of the newness of each day. We will miss the beauty of creation, the joy of children laughing, the opportunities to make a difference. We will miss the living Christ who conquers death, which is too bad, because ours is a story of hope. A story that shows us the almighty power of the living God who triumphed over death, who brought resurrection to the world, giving us the assurance of eternal life. So open your eyes. Pay attention. This life-giving story of faith and hope and new life is my story, and it's your story. It is all of our stories. So open your eyes, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.